You're listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson, the podcast that tells you what it really takes to build a business and the simple steps to get you there. I'm determined to share with you the reality of easy, simple business marketing tips to make passive income so that you can start making money online. If you've been looking for a way to work with me, now is the time. In my membership, that strategy club, we implement one big thing together every month to move your business forward. Whether it's your first funnel, your strategy, or sorting out your social media, we have you covered. And you'll hear from me every week when I come in to tell you the behind the scenes of running a multi seven-figure business. Plus, you'll be part of the most welcoming community on the internet for entrepreneurs. Join now for just £35 a month with no tie-in. Go to the link in the show notes to find out more. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's podcast. We're going to be talking numbers today. I know numbers scares some of us out there. It used to scare me as well, but actually it's really important that we dig deep into our numbers and we know what we're looking at. So today I am joined by Leanne Ranaboldo, who is an accountant, but more than that, she's a financial educator. She wants to make sure that people actually know their numbers, they know what they should be looking at, and they don't keep playing small just to avoid those numbers. So welcome to the show, Leanne.
Thank you. Hi, thanks so much for having me.
No worries. I want to go straight in on some of these tough questions about numbers. Like, I have quite a lot of clients who get to like the 85,000 mark or the 80,000 a year mark. And then when I tell them, right, how are we going to scale to that 150,000? They're like, oh no, I don't want to scale because then I'm going to have to pay VAT. And this blows my mind that this is how people think. Do you see this a lot?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's one of those things we see all the time. I have, there's one particular client I want to shout out about because they actually get me to check each month to keep them under the threshold. So if they see themselves getting there, they're like, no, I'm going to hold back on invoicing just so that deliberately they don't go over that threshold, which is really sad because VAT and going over that threshold is a celebration. Yeah. I just say to people, have a, you know, a celebration party because you have just got to 85,000. You know, it's exciting and you've reached a milestone in your business. But yeah, so many people, they're like, no, don't want to be VAT registered. I'm gonna keep myself under it and afraid to scale their business as a result. And yeah, it's holding people back.
It's so sad because actually, yes, there's this 20% that you're going to have to pay, but I mean, there are ways to deal with this. You either add the 20% on, or if like us, we don't like to add the 20% on, we take it out of what we earn. And so we put the prices up by 20%, or we just go, okay, well, if we're at 85,000, I remember being at 85,000 in the first 6 months and thinking, oh God, I'm at 85,000 already. I think it was on month five or five and a half. And we said, okay, well, let's just make sure we get so above that that it doesn't matter about the VAT, we'll still earn a lot more money. And we did. And yeah, I just find it such an odd way of thinking that, well, let's just keep below it because you could be at like a million and you're keeping yourself down all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the key thing to say to everyone really is exactly what you've just said, is just push yourself above it. Because when you're just sitting at the threshold, it can be a little bit tough, that first transition. But if you really just think, go well above it, at that point, actually, you stop feeling it. So when people go VAT registered, they don't necessarily have to put their prices up by 20% because you've got to remember that you're claiming back on expenses. So you might just think, actually, let's do 10 or 12%. So, you know, there are ways around it. It's just being prepared. And actually, your accounting systems these days, they have amazing, you know, they do practically a lot of it for you. So there's nothing to be afraid of if you've got the basics right. It's only if everything's a mess that, yeah, that then you're panicking. But if everything's straightforward, then actually, because yeah, it is just about getting that. It's all about the basics. And that's what I always get to people, is just get your systems right, know your numbers, and then really everything else just falls into place. You know, don't hold back, just get over that 85 and celebrate being a VAT registered business.
Let's talk about when you first start a business, and even in the first couple of years, you're doing the thing, but you're often not really thinking about the numbers and the or how to be organized behind that. You know you're going to have to do accounts, but it feels far away. And so you don't necessarily sit down and start a profit and loss and start looking at your numbers then. What is the easiest way? I think you should start right at the beginning, by the way, but what is the easiest way to start getting organized?
So the first thing I'd say, we quite often get people come to us about a year after starting the business, or, you know, sometimes later. And I always say this is the number one mistake, because the first thing you should do before, you know, even planning your business is to see your accountant, because actually they can discuss structure, you know, how to get the systems right in your business, because as you know, having these systems is all about, you know, having that structure and systems, and every as you grow, if that's in place at the beginning, then actually by the time you get bigger, you know, it just all carries on as it should. So getting the things right in the beginning is the best thing. And just knowing your numbers early is absolutely crucial. You know, quite often people are handing their accounts into their accountant at the end of the year, and they don't know what their profit is, and they're handing a tax bill in January. And of course, then they're like, oh my God, I've got this to pay and I haven't saved up for it. So I think just having that initial meeting early on will just have everything in place, all the plans in place. You know what you're doing, you know your numbers, you know, it should be I personally think, obviously, yes, I'm an accountant, so I'm going to say it anyway, but I do think your numbers is the fundamental part of your business. You know, without that, nothing else matters, really.
Right, because you could be doing a whole year's worth of work for something that's actually not making you any profit. I've been there, by the way. I had a mastermind once that I didn't really look at until 6 months in. I was like, we're going to do this and this. And then 6 months in, we had a look and we were like, we're not actually making any profit on this. Why are we putting so much effort in? Like, we're making no profit. Yeah. Let's not do it again. And I think sometimes, definitely at the end of a year, having a look at the parts of your business that are making the most profit and the parts that are making the least profit is really important, because if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, it's key to, I don't want to say pull the plug, but sometimes it does mean that if something's not working, you need to be able to see it and tweak it and change it. That's all about, you know, running a business and being a good CEO at the end of the day is making early decisions. And you can't make decisions in your business if you don't know your numbers. Yeah, so it's very, very simple.
Yeah, those decisions are made. And we talk about pulling the plug and that sounds like harsh, but actually there are things we've pulled the plug on that are like, we're never going to be able to make the profit we want out of this. It's not scalable enough. And therefore it's not worth us doing it. But those decisions are much easier when you see on paper the amount of money being spent or coming in from them. So it's definitely something you need to look at. And it doesn't have to be you. You know, people often are a bit scared to get an accountant at the beginning because they say, well, my business is too small for an accountant. That's when you most need an accountant.
Yeah, definitely. It is. Yeah, definitely. And just knowing what to ask your accountant. I'm seeing this a lot at the moment is just people saying, right, I've got an accountant, they're doing, you know, my accounts, my bookkeeping, whatever. They're saying, oh, I don't speak to my accountant. I'm not getting the information. I don't know where my tax bill is. I don't know. You know, the problem I'm seeing is that a lot of people haven't got the consultancy added into their fee. So maybe that's just a tip for everyone is when you do get to the point where, you know, you are doing that monthly service, just add in, even if it's a quarterly chat with them, it's worth every penny, because actually then it makes you sit down with them and have these discussions, you know, because your accountant, they don't know what they don't know. So if you're not talking to them and saying, well, this is happening, they don't know to advise. So that's one tip I would give everyone, is definitely have those communications. And then, you know, there's things that you might not know that they could massively help you. You could save a lot of tax, or, you know, if you're trying to get a new employee, for example, there might be things that you need to do that you're not doing. So, yeah, these talking to your accountant regularly is absolutely paramount.
And telling them where you're going. I think is really important as well, because it's different advice depending on how you're scaling and where you're going. So people often ask me, I'm starting a business. Should I be a sole trader or a limited company? And it's like, well, it depends where you're going. It depends what you want to do with it. And I'm not an accountant, and I know that. Like, you can't. Most people go, well, I'll just start with sole trader and see what happens. But that's not always the best way, is it?
No, not at all. So back in the day, it used to be that it was more tax efficient to be a limited company, and just that's why everyone was doing it. And unfortunately, we do have this thing called pub talk, where you'll be talking to your friend or down the pub, and they'll have somebody will tell you what they're doing or what their accountant's doing. And it actually, every client or person and business is unique. So realistically, it's not even a tax efficiency thing now. It's kind of, you've got to look at, Do I need to be a limited company? Do I need the protection, the legal protection? You know, am I doing something that potentially, you know, I could have insurance issues? If your insurance doesn't pay out, for example, and you're sued, then obviously they're going to, as a sole trader, you could become liable. But as a limited company, it covers you. It gives you this umbrella. And I'm saying that's one of the things I look at. I say, do you need that protection? Generally, for example, builders, you know, I'd say definitely, because they're so big, they have a lot of credit accounts. I'd say definitely I wouldn't even start as a sole trader, go straight. You might want to be bigger and look bigger, so you become a limited rather than sole trader. There's so many reasons, actually, like not even looking at tax efficiency now, whether you should or you shouldn't. So again, it's individual, and that's why you need those conversations in the beginning. So have that chat. And it will make a huge difference, because otherwise a year later, you know, if you start, I see this all the time, people have started limited and they don't need to be, for example. And then they're kind of like, I've got all these fines coming through because I didn't know what to do. And if you don't need that structure, then it could be costly as well. So it's so important.
Let's talk about HMRC, the fear of HMRC. Every business owner I know has a fear. I mean, I had it for a little bit. It's a bit like, even when you know you're not doing anything wrong, it's like when you're at an airport and the sniffer dogs come by and you know you've got no drugs, but you're still terrified that they're going to somehow find drugs on you. It's ridiculous. That's how I feel about HMRC. Like, there's always this worry that they might come and look at everything you're doing. What can we do just to make sure that we are doing everything right, that we'll have no issues with HMRC? How do we become less fearful of these big, bad people that we see out there who are actually only people doing a job at the end of the day, that we're all terrified of with small businesses?
So fear is real. I have people that literally will not open their brown envelopes because they're so scared, you know, they don't know what's inside, which is crazy, but it is real. There is a real fear of the brown envelopes. So I think the problem is because with HMRC, there's so much advice online and it's very confusing, and people are worried that, you know, they're not that approachable. They are quite aggressive and people are scared for that reason. I often get told, I just don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to go to jail. You know, the likelihood of that happening is slim. However, there's this real fear. The fear is there because it's the unknown. People, you know, they're new to business. They haven't dealt with HMRC. It's all new. And realistically, it's just educating yourself, just being in the know of everything. And actually just that will then kind of say, actually, HMRC aren't that bad. Quite often, once people speak to them, they actually think, oh, actually, they're quite helpful. That was fine. It was not a problem, you know. And if you've got an accountant that's advising you and, you know, you're doing everything that you should and you're educating yourself, if you haven't got an accountant, you know, you could sign up with local accountants to just go on their email list, and that's free. So realistically, that's a really good tip to say, you know, just doing that will keep you in the know. Because sometimes I think it is, you're kind of scared because you're not aware of what's happening in the financial world, and that one thing would help massively. So yes, it's knowing, really, and that'll help your confidence.
I feel like the knowing is hard. So depending on who you ask, especially with like what we'd class as loopholes, so everyone wants to be as tax efficient as they possibly can be, obviously. And you get some accountants that are very like, I suppose, quite risky. You know, yes, put all your clothes through. Yes, put your hair through. Yes, put all of these different things through that could be classed as marketing, you know, client entertainment, these kind of things. And then you get the other side who are really, really risk averse. So my accountant purposely, because I'm quite a risky person by nature, my accountant who works for me is the most risk averse person that exists to balance me out, basically. So she, you know, she won't let me put a piece of clothing through unless it has the company name on it. Like, she'll go that far. And I think there's no like list going, yes, you can have this, but no, you won't be allowed to have this. It feels very much like it's based on opinion a lot of the time.
Yeah, and that just is, unfortunately, tax law. It's very, and that's another reason why people are kind of like, I really don't know what's going on or what I should and shouldn't do. But it's all arguable, I think. I think you've just got to, the rule is it's got to be wholly and exclusively for business purposes. That's the rule. So even that in itself is quite vague. But what you've got to look at is, am I using this for my business? And if you are, then generally most of the time it is allowable. So I would always say, you know, this is where your accountant comes in and having that advice is to say, I'm using this, is it possible? And yes or no. And whether you've got an accountant that's kind of, you know, they know the laws and what you should and shouldn't be doing. And I guess it's just making sure, you know, you're following their advice and go ahead with that. And generally, if worst case, it was arguable by HMRC, say they looked in your figures and said, actually, you shouldn't have claimed that. The worst case, you know, you've got to argue that actually that is a business purpose, and they can only say yes or no. And even then you can still argue it. So there is actually no definite yes or no.
Yeah, I think I'd like a definite yes or no.
Yeah, but there is, you're never going to get that. So it is just an arguable thing, or saying, well, you know, am I using it in my business? Is it for just solely for the purpose of business, you know?
I think where you could be is when you have a lifestyle business. So mine's less lifestyle now, but when it was, you know, actually going first class on a plane is part of your marketing when you have a business like mine. But I always felt like I'd never put that on the company because I was always so worried that they'd go, well, you didn't need to go first class, but it is wholly for the business. But you see what I mean? Like the lines, I think since online businesses started, the lines are more difficult to draw between what is for business and what is not.
Yeah. And that's where even HMRC, that every day the tax legislation changes because of that reason, because you've got to look at it and say, well, something worked before, but it doesn't now, because like, just as you said, the online business is different, you know. Things like, you need to do certain things to make your business run. You've got all the retreats that we all now go on and love. You know, they're all allowable because they are a business expense. You're there for that learning purpose. But before, I know I still hear a lot of accountants are refusing to put that through because they're like, you can't go on holiday and claim that through. But it is okay. So I guess it's what I would say is use your gut with your accountant. If something doesn't feel right and you're constantly arguing this case, you know, it's always a fit. Your accountant's got to work with you. And if you don't feel that they're working for you, then move on and move to somebody else that you feel confident with. I think that is just absolutely key in business is it's like a friendship. You know where you don't. Use your gut always.
With numbers in general, what numbers should we be tracking when it comes to accountancy continuously?
So you should be at the bare minimum be looking at your profit and loss. I look at that daily, which sounds extreme, but I'm looking at my income to see if my income's on track and target. And the other thing to say is also your profit. That's all very nice looking at your profit, but you've also got to be running a cash flow really, because your profit doesn't include certain things. So for example, you know, if you've got tax payments and loan payments, you need to know how much cash is in your business. Profit and cash, completely different things. I've seen companies where they are profitable, but they've gone bust because they've run out of cash. So a cash flow is so important. So as you know, get those things going yourself if you can, or if your accountant can run them for you. So yeah, that is definitely my two reports that I'm looking at all the time.
I think cash flow is more important than people think. I have also seen businesses that on paper, they've made like 100 grand in a year, and that's brilliant. But actually, what's happened is they have no money, because some of that money is going out into investments and other things. And then there's nothing left at the end of it. And they need to buy something and they can't, like their software and that kind of thing. I think it's really important to look at that. Okay, so last question, and one that's important. If you could give any piece of advice to people out there who have a business to make sure that they are really making the most of their accountant and making sure that they are getting profit in their business, what would you say?
So there's a few things I'd quickly say to that is just making sure, as we've just discussed, you're looking at your profit and loss and cash flow with your accountant. You are having those discussions with them. I always say to my clients, I want to know everything that you're doing. So if you're buying a new car, if you're taking on a new employee, if you're doing anything at all, I don't care, even if it's not business related, I want to know about it, because actually those things I could help you. Just making sure you're keeping money back and you're saving at least 6 months money in your business. So that's another tip that I don't see people do. And just being aware of your tax payments, get your accountant to help you budget that each month so that you know exactly what your tax bill is. That is possible. You don't need to worry about it at the end of the year. You can do it monthly as well. So proactive rather than reactive. That's key.
Amazing. We do that. So we actually pay in advance, and then they often pay me interest back.
Oh,
early, which is quite nice. Thank you for coming on. I hope you guys have realized you need an accountant if you don't have one already, even if you're at the beginning of your business. So accountants are really, really important. If somebody wants to come and check out some more education on finance, where is the best place to find you?
So two places you can find us. Tilly's Accountancy is my accountancy practice. So as I said, you can sign up for our email list and newsletter. That goes out generally weekly, and we have loads of tips and advice there. And the Accountancy Coach, we have some training that's coming soon. So we will teach you all that you need to know on there as well. So two places on Instagram is the best place.
Amazing. Thank you for being here. We'll put those in the show notes. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll be back next week with another episode of Making Money Online. Thank you for listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson. If you'd like to get hold of my guide to launching, go to lisajohnson.com/launch and let's get you making money online.